Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Match Ball.
Hello there, welcome to the show. It's brought to you with Levi Solicitors, a company that were around in 1990 and for years before that. If you'd like 10% off your legal fees, head to levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. My name's Dan Moylan, hello. And I'm joined by Michael Normanson.
Hello.
And Moscow White, Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
30 years on from the day itself, today we celebrate a game against Aston Villa. October the 27th, 1990, and a 0-0 draw away at Villa Park. 24,000 people there. A game that was probably more exciting than it sounds.
Villa were a good team. You don't necessarily think of it at first sight. I'm pretty sure Andrew Comyn, who was in their defence, was on like day release from an accountancy course. And there was all sorts of stuff going on around that. And Dennis Nielsen's brother, Kent, also playing. But they just, before this match, had beaten Inter Milan, which is the Inter Milan with Walter Zenger in goal, Bremer in defence, Bergamy, Lothar Matthäus, Nicola Berti, Jürgen Klinsmann, managed by Giovanni Trapattoni, and they've sent out Tony Cascarino, Gordon Cowans, David Platt, and beat them 2-0 at Villa Park. So we're up against a good side and coming away with a point and managing to stop them scoring. Probably not to be sniffed at given recent form when we've just been embarrassed against QPR.
Pearson better than Klinsmann then? Is that what we can conclude from this?
At least as good, because neither of them scored against Villa. And if you want to compare the two, Chapman and Matthäus?
Yes.
In charge of Leeds United then, the very non-exotic Howard Wilkinson, but in charge of Aston Villa at this time. Do you remember this name? Dr. Joseph Venglos. I can't decide if he sounds more like a war criminal who maybe faced charges at Nuremberg or whether he sounds like a Bond villain. One of the two.
He's not a proper doctor either. I looked him up. He's got a doctorate in PE. It's like a Dave Hockaday with ideas above his station. He's a PE doctorate. So, I mean, I'm not sure about these foreign managers. I don't think they'll catch on. I don't think he's... I mean, they've lost Graham Taylor, haven't they, Villa? And they just don't look the same side. And Taylor himself has made a good start as England manager. I can see us going on to win stuff under him.
Do I like that? Lineups then today. Lukic, Sterland, Kamara, Batty, Fairclough, White, Strachan, Pearson, Chapman, McAllister and Speed completing the first 11 with Varadi and Snodin on the bench. For Villa, some of those exotic names that Moscow mentioned there, Spink, Comyn, Gray, that's Stuart Gray, Christopher Price, didn't he play Dracula? Derek Mountfield, Kent Nielsen, Paul Birch, Gordon Cowans, Tony Daly, David Platt and Tony Cascarino completing their lineup. And in our midfield then, one David Batty who has an opinion on this.
I'm quite enjoying as we go through these matches, discovering David Batty taking to the first division as if he just doesn't care. We had him out to thrash Sheffield Wednesday the other week. And this week, bearing in mind the players I just described playing for Inter Milan, Klinsmann, Matthäus, Bremer, David Batty says, one thing's for certain, will cause them more problems than Inter did.
Batty as well, famously not a massive football fan despite being a footballer. So did you know any of those players are, David? Did you see any of them play at the World Cup? Nah, but Chapman's handful. They'll struggle.
He want to watch it. There was a big story in midweek about how the players were using it as like a scouting mission because the Inter Milan match was on television. So, we can see what they're doing. But he won't have bothered.
Imagine that. Games being on television so you could see what had happened. Again, another thing that will never, ever catch on. What's interesting in this game is that it foreshadowed what happened the season after where, I mean, spoiler alert, I don't know if you've heard. I know it's 1990 right now, but we do quite well next season. But this season, we saw a particular tactical move from Howard Wilkinson.
Which wasn't even the first time. He had, if there was one thing Howard Wilkinson could do, it was neutralising Tony Daly. Tony Daly, who was absolutely brilliant, pure pace at a time when people probably considered, I mean, Chris Kamara actually after the game is complimented on his pace by Howard Wilkinson. He's 32 and probably not in the best shape he's ever been. But Daly was the real deal. And the first time this happened, it was against, we played Villa in the League Cup the season before. And the natural choice to stop him playing was Mike Whitlow, man-marking him, a racing car going into turbo, leaving Daly for dust. But at the moment, Whitlow is still struggling with concussion that he got in the Leicester game weeks before, so wasn't available. So it was Chris Kamara, 32 years old, playing his first ever First Division football match. And although he was marking Tony Daly, he was pretty much just sticking to left-back. He wasn't following him all over the pitch. Meanwhile, David Batty had his own job to do because their other big threat was David Platt, who absolutely loved running from midfield and scoring headers and volleys. So it was the two danger men and the two neutralisers.
When you said that Wilco knew how to neutralise him, I had visions of him performing a vasectomy on him in later life. I'll finish you off. Speaking of David Platt, he was in the national psyche at this moment as well, because obviously he'd had that famous goal against Belgium in the World Cup only a few months before this.
And Tony Cascarino, was he playing for Ireland at this point, fraudulently?
As he was as legitimate as anybody else. That's what I mean. Villa were always a bit weird, and there was a lot of, I mean, what we were saying about Dr. Joseph Fengloss was
another,
very...
Another communist. Very just accurate. Like the QPR goalkeeper from Czechoslovakia, isn't he? Although, I can't see Czechoslovakia lasting, to be honest. I think he was at the World Cup, wasn't he, in fact, Fengloss? He'd been there, the manager there, so he was fresh from an international competition.
Spreading his ideas. Poison. His communist poison. That's what he was doing.
Rolling the ball out.
And he was assistant when they won the European Championships in 76, when they beat the Netherlands and West Germany. So he did actually have a legitimate track record and was quite successful in Europe with clubs from Czechoslovakia. I can't remember exactly which ones he coached. But he knew what he was doing, but he didn't speak English, so he was rubbish.
Again, never catch on. What is Johnny Foreigner doing, coming over here, not learning the Queens? It's an absolute disgrace and we shouldn't stand for that now or at any point in the future.
Don't care about his fancy coaching ideas. Where's that ever got anybody?
As for like the shape of the game, what happened in this one then? For a 0-0, we need to, let's make this a masterpiece. Let's fill out this painting.
Well, from our point of view, we stopped them. And I think that's the big thing. As you mentioned, David Platt was one of the stars of the World Cup. And he was reduced. He had one header that only just went over. That was the only time he got away from Batty, really. There was two other half chances, but he just hit them from the edge of the box. There was no real danger. And Tony Daly didn't have a sniff. Chris Kamara was man of the match. Sterling had our best chance, headed against the bar, and then Batty had to save us in the last few minutes. They had loads of corners at the end. Derek Mountfield, who always had a very strange moustache around this time, that probably put him off when he was heading a chance from a corner, and Batty headed it back off the line. And then Tony Cascarino blocked one from Platt. The only downside for us, I suppose, is it's another game that we haven't scored. I know we scored two against QPR, but we discussed the state of Donkey Pearson in that match and the way we let it go. And we're persisting with Pearson and Chapman up front, but not getting any goals against... I mean, Derek Mountfield is a very capable defender, but Comyn is a bit of an unknown.
Wilco, you forget, sometimes had this determination to shut games down, didn't he? It was very pragmatic in that regard. And I guess because Leeds had only just come up, there was a certain amount of self-preservation going on, because you can see looking through this. I mean, I didn't realise until we started going through this just how much John Pearson had played, for example, because the post-promotion Leeds United in my mind is Tony DiRigo, it's Rod Wallace. And so, and you realise that obviously we haven't signed them just yet. And there's a real second division vibe to a lot of this squad. They haven't quite rounded the squad off in the way that you might want.
I think maybe you forget about Pearson because he never scores.
He scored against Sheffield United.
I suppose so.
He made his entire life. He was the happiest man around. I've always had fixed in my mind a quote, possibly apocryphal, from John Pearson that he could have played for England. He just never got the same breaks as Gary Lineker. But the big problem at this point is Bobby Davison's been injured with the ankle injury, I think, that kept him out at Bournemouth when Carl Schutt had to take over without being told. And he would have been first choice to be partnering Chapman. But then shut. Had a little holiday in Sweden trying to get his fitness sorted. And after John Pearson and Imre Vardy, it's one of the two to partner Chapman.
So despite their late pressure, we got to the end with 0-0. And what was the sort of general overall feeling about this? Were we pleased to get a point? Were they pleased to get a point?
I think perhaps we can hear from criminal Venglos.
Wasn't expecting a Venglos voice. Czechoslovakian.
Be careful.
You have no excuses. This was not the...
It feels a bit Kremlin, does that? A bit threatening.
This was not a bad performance.
Okay.
But one must give credit to Leeds. They came very well prepared tactically and made it difficult for us to create openings.
I mean, we've already established he didn't speak English, so I'm disappointed that you haven't used his native tongue when doing that.
And as you've taken the better performance, when the Woodish get created into the Leeds, the casual have been proper tactically, as in the difficulty opening.
Loved it, yeah. Very good. That's what I thought he said. We had reaction from Tony Daly as well.
It was all about giving credit to Leeds more than anything else. Venglos gave us the credit, and Tony Daly said as well, I didn't play particularly badly, but it wasn't the standard I was seeking. Full marks to Chris Kamara for the job he did. And Cammy, as people know him now, was very happy about getting his first game and playing so well. And it was, it sounds boring with a 0-0 draw, but I think defending our style of play and the fact that we're man-marking players like Tony Daly did kind of come from being new boys in the division. And we were having difficulty. Venglos will give us all the credit, but it was interesting that in the build-up to this match, Howard Wilkinson had been giving plenty to Andy Roxburgh, who not necessarily involved in this match, but was in having his say anyway, because he was Scotland manager at the time and wasn't happy with the way that Gary McAllister was being used. He told a newspaper that Gary McAllister was having to play a game totally foreign to him, and that's for Howard Wilkinson, not even Joseph Venglos. Roxburgh was quoted as saying, at Leeds, he rarely runs more than 10 yards either way, with the ball being bombed over his head. And Wilkinson was not at all happy. He said, I would have thought his job with Scotland gave him enough to think about without trying to do mine as well. Gary hasn't exactly set the world on fire at club level immediately after returning from trips with the Scottish team, and comments like this seem to indicate why. We spent £1 million recruiting Gary McAllister because of his talent of passing the ball and potential as a midfield playmaker. The only role foreign to Gary McAllister is the way Scotland deploy him on the right side of midfield. But that's Mr. Roxburgh's department.
I wonder if there's something in what he's saying, because I must admit from watching these games, I do feel McAllister could be used a bit more. But it's early days, isn't it?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Just returning to Roxburgh for a minute. During the break there, just had a look. 1993, he left the Scotland job. Do you know what he's done in football since?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, he essentially runs FIFA.
Again, nothing.
He's the... I can't remember his exact job title.
So he's corrupt as well, you're saying?
I think he's like technical director of world football and has been since the mid-1990s. So he is kind of regarded as the top tactical mind in the world. But he didn't know how to play Gary McAllister, though, did he? He was no Howard Wilkinson.
Sounds like an idiot to me. Other fans have been ringing the police about us, though, in the wake of this game, and I'm not sure if I'm happy about this. What's been going on?
It's actually in the build-up to this game. It was a nice... If Andrew Roxburgh won't have us, QPR fans at least will. It was about how we accepted defeat against QPR and also the rounds of applause that we gave to Roy Wegley for scoring that goal. Holbeck Police Station, reports the Yorkshire Evening Post, have received phone calls this week from London praising United fans for their sporting behaviour. And I hope that's resulted in a lot of Cockneys going to jail for wasting police time, because I don't know what it's got to do with them. But yes, it was. There was also, after the game, said the manager of Rangers Supporters Club, "Our supporters were actually applauded by some of your fans while walking to our coaches. As a genuine group of supporters, we realise Elland Road is not hostile, purely partisan and loyal. It was good, too, to see many youngsters in your family stand, fans who surely would not be there if the media was to be believed." So at least QPR have recognised that we're nice people, but I'm still a little bit uncomfortable. And also, I'm struck by this bizarre idea that you would phone the police to report well-behaved football fans.
Talking about being nice to us, the stripy wankers. Get away.
I was disappointed no one spat on my children as I left the ground. The clapping of Roy Wegley is one thing, and I can kind of see how that happened. Applauding fans onto coaches, that didn't happen, did it?
It has the ring of an absolute lie about it. I can only imagine it was like a couple of people walking past, kind of, you know, "Well done, lads. Safe journey home." And we had an ovation.
And they were all doing a special wave with the... It must be another thing with the thumb touching the sort of index finger and like waving in the air. And
they showered us with gifts of rocks and other bits of shrapnel. Such nice people. I don't know.
But anyway, they're desperate to see us down there, aren't they? Next in the away fixture, which is it may be slightly more disappointed by our away support, but we'll see.
And have a look at this one then. Not only are we being nice to QPR, but we're pissing money away. £2 million loss in a leaked report. Who's been leaking reports?
It's a big question. But yeah, the Yorkshire Evening Post had a leaked report of the financial results aren't due out yet, as Leslie Silver, the chairman, pointed out to them. But for some reason, the YEP got rid of them and found that we'd lost £2 million. We hadn't really lost it. We'd spent it. Gary McAllister, John Lukic. And Silver did point out that it's not as bad as it looks. We're on a sound financial basis. And in fact, so far this season, we're running at a profit. And pointed out that we are trying to make United one of the country's top clubs again. And what we do not have a bottomless purse. Our aim is to give Howard Wilkinson as much support as we can. He doesn't immediately commit to signing Dean Saunders, Ali McCoist, anybody else who could possibly score a goal at that point. But it is that kind of implied. But yeah, he says the actual results are out in a month or so, but not to believe that headline, 2 million.
Leslie Silver, the sensible one as well. Bill Fotherby will be the one in the background trying desperately to spend ever-increasing amounts of money and disappearing off to Italy to try and sign players.
We'll have been hovering around Villa Park. Oh, I'm just going to watch Aston Villa ahead of the game on Saturday, throwing bags of money at... That sounds much more corrupt than I mean. But whatever it takes to sign Jurgen Klinsmann.
It's interesting to see that the club possibly felt like they're under a little bit of pressure now, because looking back through the results, we've only had one win in seven games now, having lost three to Luton, Spurs and QPR last week. In amongst this Villa draw, we've got the Palace draw, Arsenal draw, only beat Sheffield United. So you can see why there might have been a sort of a little bit of a fractious atmosphere around the club.
And also there's the fact that people actually can't get into the ground, because there's been a problem going on all season with them. Season tickets. You had to have a Premier card sent out as well. And the suppliers, a company from Stoke called Synchro, basically messed the whole thing up. I couldn't find the reports weren't clear, because the digitised version of the Yorkshire Evening Post has a smudge. But I think it says we sold 27,000 season tickets, which is well over £3 million worth of revenue. But people couldn't get in. The club secretary had quit a week before the actual season started and said the job has become 99% hassle.
There's a YouTube clip of that somewhere. I was trying to find it, but it's in the middle of a calendar news clip or something, and he is basically just doing a TTFN dickhead. So he's just like, yeah, there's just too much stuff on and I hate this. I hate it, so I'm leaving. And for some reason, they put it on the local news. I'm going interrailing or something. What did people do? They didn't go to Thailand then, did
computers.
They?
Computers, they're never going to catch on, are they? Interesting to note the revenue there of, what is it, over 3 million quid in season tickets. And actually, we've got a sort of an equivalent amount of season ticket holders now. And the season ticket revenue is somewhere in the region of about 10 to 12 million, isn't it? So you can see that prices have gone up kind of fourfold across the last 30 years.
But thankfully, the ticket arrangements are always smooth now because of computers. In the last decade or so, I've never heard of anyone struggling to use a Leeds United ticket system. So it just goes to show these things do improve.
I did quite like the new incoming secretary, Nigel Pleasance, taking quite a good stance towards Synchro and their computer system. We said he's refusing to pay them until this is sorted out. And then I am tempted to have this equipment torn out and stuck in the middle of the car park. We apologise to our fans and assure them we're doing everything possible to solve this problem. You never heard that from Sean Harvey. Sean Harvey, you basically just said, suck it up.
And we're hearing plans now from within the club. It's not all bad news. Some good news here that Elland Road is set to become a 40,000 all-seater stadium because I think, all being well, in the not-too-distant future, the World Cup will be coming to England.
It's within the club in the sense that the council are the landlords, but it's the council leader, John Trickett, who is putting us forward as part of the bid for the 1998 World Cup. When he says, well before 1998, Leeds will have one of the finest stadiums in the country with the redevelopment plans that we were talking about the other week. But that's something to aim for.
I think with the plans for the magnificent new East Stand, I don't see France having a chance at getting that, to be honest.
And remember, at this point, it's the West Stand as well. The two are going to be finished before this, filling in the corners as well.
The West Stand does need doing, in fairness. It's looking a bit sorry for itself, isn't it?
Imagine what it's going to look like in another 30 years.
Well, it'll all be sorted by 1998 and we'll be fit to... they said that they're aspiring for it to be able to host international semi-finals. So, World Cup semi-final at Elland Road.
Graham Taylor's England, no less.
Sounds good, to be fair, that. It does sound good. But it wasn't all sweetness and light with the council, though, because they're on that bloody ground. If only we hadn't sold them that bloody ground, they wouldn't be giving us all this jip.
Yeah, we're second-class citizens, unfortunately. Hunslet Rugby League use Elland Road as well. And although at the start of the season, Howard Wilkinson made a big plea, he said, please, can we have Tuesday nights so that we have time for the players to recover? Our Rumbelows Cup match against Oldham has been moved to the Wednesday, Halloween, because Hunslet have rearranged their game against Lee for Tuesday night. So it means after 90 minutes of, no, how long's a rugby league match? 80 minutes of rugby on it on Tuesday night in autumn, we go playing it on Wednesday night ahead of a league match after that. And it could even go to extra time in the League Cup, which is unhelpful.
Oldham like a torn up pitch as well, don't they? So it'll be playing right into their hands.
Well, you mentioned Halloween there, which means that we have Bonfire Night on the agenda. And the pre-Bonfire Night fixture is coming up against Forest. So let's hope we can burn down the trees. Hey, that's the next fixture. We will reconvene and hopefully Leeds United will start to get back to winning ways. 3rd of November, when we face the trees at Elland Road.
The Match Ball.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.